it's time for you to be a part of the show. Email or call with questions for Dr. Mike now. Email askdrmikesmith@radiomd.com or call 877-711-5211. What are you waiting for? The doctor is in.
So this first question I got just last night. And so I confirmed what this person was saying because I went to this website and watched this video. So I thought, yeah, this is a good question. I just saw a report on Fox News that artificial sweeteners may treat cancers. Now I am confused. That's all they say. So I went to Fox News, and sure enough, I did see on Fox News Health there's a report about saccharin specifically. How it may be able to block a certain type of protein that's important for cancer cells to be able to stick together and grow. And so, you know, the lead investigator for this study was on Fox News. His name is Dr. Robert McKenna, which, by the way, I don't know him personally, but I know of him. He's down here in Florida, I think, and where I'm at. And so I watched this video with Dr. Robert McKenna, and he said, this is, now I'm paraphrasing. Okay, so let me paraphrase this. This is what he said. Isn't it amazing that a few years ago we thought saccharin caused cancer? Now it may in fact treat it. Wow. No. I think that's where mainstream medicine gets a little misleading. So let's talk a little bit about this, what's going on here. And I think in order to answer this question, I don't want you to be confused, because it's really not that confusing. It seems confusing on you know, just when you watch this report, but when you think about it, I think I can help you here. So we have to understand that there's two different things that we're really talking about here when it comes to cancer. We're talking on one end things that cause cancer. That's called carcinogenesis. And then on the other hand, we're talking about once the cancer's developed, what are things that can treat it or even make it worse or whatever. So you really have two different fields of study. You got people who study causes of cancer and people that study, well, once it's happened, what am I going to do with it? Saccharin, through research in the 1970s and 80s, has been well established, at least in animal models, okay, to be a carcinogen. It is involved in carcinogenesis, the genesis of cancer cells. There was even a couple studies, animal models, or maybe these were more petri dish laboratory studies, showing that it was, you know, it could actually cause DNA mutation, which is what ultimately cancer is. That hasn't changed. Saccharin is a carcinogen. I mean, that's well established. But let's move to the other side of that now. That's cancer, things that cause cancer. Saccharin falls in that list. Now, once you have a cancer, it turns out, based on the research that Dr. McKenna did out here in Florida, saccharin is able to block. Now, of course, it's high levels, right? High levels, more than you're going to get in a little pink pack. But high levels of saccharin is able to block an enzyme called carbonic anhydrase. And what happens when you block carbonic anhydrase, cancer cells can't aggregate together quite as well. And that's important, because if cancer cells want to get together and spread, they first have to kind of clump. Once they clump, then they can act more like a solid tumor, a growth, and then they can travel to, you know, distant parts. That's called metastatic disease. But the first step in metastatic spread is these cancer cells kind of just talking together and sticking together. And an important enzyme that they use to do that is called carbonic anhydrase. It has to do with regulating pH within the cancer cell environment, which, you know, if you have the right pH, then the cancer cell proteins that are sticking on the surface can kind of stick together and form the clump. But if you block that enzyme, they're not able to regulate pH properly. Those proteins sticking out on their surface aren't sticky, and they can't aggregate, and they can't spread. That's what his research was. Saccharin is an inhibitor of, in a sense, if I can just summarize it, is an inhibitor of cancer cell aggregation, which could decrease the ability of cancer cells to spread. Listen, this is great research, because what, now, forget the saccharin, what this means is if we can find more safe and targeted drugs that are not carcinogens, like saccharin, right? So find a drug or a compound that's not a carcinogen, but that also inhibits carbonic anhydrase. Now we're talking about something really cool. You know, it's kind of like radiation. This just came to mind. You know, so radiation, UV radiation from the sun, gamma radiation, any just radiation, radioactive, nuclear fallout, whatever, radiation, X-rays can cause cancer. They're ionized radiation, an X-ray, it's a carcinogen. But if done in the right amount in the right way, it can actually be used to treat cancer. It's the same thing. Saccharin is a carcinogen. But it also turns out that once the cancer is formed in high enough dose, it can maybe stop cancer cell aggregation. So the real potential and opportunity here with this research about saccharin isn't using saccharin as a treatment, right? Remember, I don't want to do any harm to people, so I don't want to do, but it's focusing on inhibiting carbonic anhydrase. Boy, if I can find something now that's more natural, more safe, that's not a carcinogen like saccharin, that can block carbonic anhydrase, now we're on to something. So Dr. McKenna, in this video on Fox News, who said, you know, maybe now saccharin may even be used as a treatment for cancer. No. Saccharin has opened up a potential research field for us to look at carbonic anhydrase inhibitors that are more safe. That's what it's done. Saccharin's not going to be the treatment. It's a carcinogen. I could possibly do more harm. Why I'm trying to treat, I might start a cancer somewhere else in the person's body. So I don't like his quote, and I think maybe that's why you were confused. Artificial sweeteners aren't good. They're not. They're not good. They cause nerve issues, intestinal issues. Many of them, like saccharin, are carcinogens. So that's not the treat. But this research, specifically about saccharin, blocking carbonic anhydrase, has opened up a whole field of study now and helping us to prevent spread of cancers. That's awesome. And we should look more at safe carbonic anhydrase inhibitors. That's what I took out of this research. Okay, next question. When is it not okay? How am I doing on time? I think I'm okay. When is it not okay to take a generic drug? When is it not okay to take a generic drug? So we know that, you know, when a pharmaceutical company receives approval for a new drug, they submit what's called a new drug application to the FDA. The FDA reviews all that research. And if the benefit is high, the risk is low, it's usually approved, knowing that they're going to do additional research testing, which is known as phase 4 out in the general population. That's how it's done. Once that drug has been approved, they get a patent. Right? They're able to patent that compound, that chemical compound, and I don't remember exactly. I worked for a pharmaceutical company. You'd think I would remember this, but you know, the patent's, I think, 15, 20 years, something like that. But once that patent goes out, then other companies, other chemical manufacturing companies can copy that chemical compound and sell it as a generic derivative. But there's two types of generic drugs. One of the types, called type A generic drug, that's perfectly fine to take anytime because it's an exact copy of the original drug. The bioavailability, the absorption, the mechanism of it's all exactly the same. However, some generic drugs are called type B, where it's been changed a little bit because it's cheaper to make it that way, and it changes the bioavailability. They're pretty much safe for the most part, but maybe you don't want to do B type, do type A generic drugs. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.